You're listening to Prime Cut on SB Nation Radio with Sean Salisbury and Steve Bunin.
Little Doobie Brothers, never hurt anybody.
Oh, you ain't lying.
Which version? They had about 19 different lineups.
When Michael McDonald was the lead singer?
What a Fool Believes.
Yep.
What a Fool Believes. This is a great song, though. China Girl. Steve Bunin, Sean Salisbury, glad you're with us. And we got a jam-packed hour here. We just finished up with the play-by-play announcer of the LA Rams, J.B. Long. Joe Buck of Fox is going to join us in 13 minutes. And right now we're joined by the one, the only, Barry Switzer. Coach, this is Steve Bunin and Sean Salisbury. How are you today?
Hey, Steve, Sean, how you guys doing?
Good, Coach. Good to have you on.
Well, we've been debating.
Good. I was in your city last night. I was
what?
In Houston yesterday. Houston Country Club. Yeah, last night.
That's like across the street
last
from us,
night,
I think.
I was in Houston.
Well, yeah, was there an award ceremony or dinner or something? You speak?
No, it was a bunch of Sooners out there, a bunch of old Oklahoma guys, oil and gas business. There's about 50 of us out there. So we put on a program for them last night. And I thought about the last time I was there with Michael Dow, who owns your station. The Dow Network? Or
yep,
whatever.
David, yep, Mr. Gow, yeah. That's right, Mr. Gow, yep.
And one of the reasons we love having you is so much experience and so much success at both the college level, where you're a Hall of Famer, national champion multiple times, and a Super Bowl champion in the NFL. And one of the questions that I've got for you is how you would handle or would have handled the Dak Prescott, Tony Romo situation, and I wonder if it's at all similar to the Troy Aikman, Holloway situation with you, where you have an injury. Had Troy come back, would you have, let them fight it out for the job?
Well, there really wasn't similar because, they mark Tony ready for duty right now, and he's ready to play. Troy would never was able to come back. He broke his leg, and third game of the season, we were leading Miami here in Oklahoma. We were playing in Norman. It was 1985. We were leading in the ball game, and Troy was 6 out of 7 at the time, and Elroy had a 48-yard touchdown call back himself. He ran on the option. And this is back when Troy could run. He's only 195 or 200 pounds in. He could run 4.6. But he broke his leg. Jerome Brown, the guy's got him in the vice, broke his leg, put him on the sidelines, and then inserted Jamel Holloway. And he won the rest of them. We won the national championship with beating Penn State, undefeated Penn State in the Orange Bowl. But let me tell you, if Troy hadn't broken his leg, we would have won and might have won, beaten Miami, and we would have won the rest of them anyway.
Well, that, Coach,
and we would have been playing Jamel Holloway.
That's my question. If Troy had come back for his sophomore year, so let's say he
started back, but he knew that because Jamel's performance, he knew that he would be splitting time. We would have played both of them. Both of them would fit in our offensive structure. And both of them would have won and had their turns. But Troy wanted to be a starter and play the entire time. And Troy really knew his strengths with throwing the football. That's why I told Terry Donahue, I said, this guy's going to be drafted in the first round. Hell, I didn't know he was going to be the first player pick, but I knew he was first round pick when I had him as a sophomore. And I had to talk Terry Donahue into taking him. Troy and I sat down after the season's over, right before spring practice. We talked about before the spring, and he said, I'd like to transfer. And I said, I understand. I said, Troy, you'll be a player. You'll start. You'll play half every ball game. And he says, Coach, I really need to go somewhere else and run another style of offense. And I said, I understand that. And we picked Arizona State, Stanford, and UCLA, and I had to talk Terry into taking me. But it all worked out for us. We went on one with Jamel Holloway till he got hurt his junior year. And, of course, Troy had a great run at UCLA, was first player picked in the draft, had a great pro career at Hall of Famer, and so it worked out for both of them.
Smart move by Terry Donahue to eventually take Troy. That was a smart move by Terry.
Sean, you know this. You played the game. No one likes to take transfers.
Absolutely.
It's like hanging out someone else's dirty laundry. They got problems. It's the reason they're transferring. They either can't play in the competition or they got problems there. They've got academic, whatever it is. It's negative. Usually it's a negative reason why a person transfers.
Right.
And I tried to tell Terry, this is a unique guy. This is a starter. This guy is a first-round draft choice. He says, why in hell is he leaving your program? He didn't even know who he was. When I called John Cooper at Arizona State, John Cooper had been at Tulsa. John Cooper knew who in the hell Troy Aikman was. He said, hell yeah, I want him. And you bet I'll take him. Give me his phone number. So John started recruiting him. But Terry didn't know who he was. And so he had to send the guy to the illegal. You know, statute of limitations already run on this. But Terry sent a coach out here to work him out, and he worked him out. He called Terry back and said, "Hey, guys, we got a guy that's got an arm like Terry Bradshaw. This guy can really throw a football." And so they took him, and, of course, we know what else, what happened.
Would you make this? Do you like the decision the Cowboys have made to stick with Dak, Coach?
Well, there's no question. 9/11, you guys followed me on Twitter, and y'all probably don't, but I tweeted out on 9/11, which is a terrible day in the history of our country. That was a day I watched, sat down and watched the entire game of the Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott, who I'd seen play at Mississippi State and thought was a really good athlete. I saw that he was 135th player pick, didn't go on the first day. He's a fourth-round guy. And when the game was over, I said, if this guy continues, that's what I tweeted out. I said, if this guy continues to play like he did today, Dallas Cowboys will have a Cinderella season. Well, he hasn't quit playing that way, and of course, they had lost the damn game. And I talked to Jerry a couple weeks ago. I called him about something else. We were talking about business, and Jerry and I were visiting Jerry Jones. And he said, by the way, he got around to bringing up football. I didn't. I let him bring it up, but I knew he would. He said, what the hell would you do? I said, Jerry, I laughed. I said, you can't do one thing but keep on playing the kids. I said, everybody on that team has elevated their play, offense, special teams, defense. Everybody at every position is playing at a level they'll never have played before because of this kid, how they're performing, and Zeke Elliott's playing. They believe, they're bought into it. Hey, you've got guys playing from the neck up or busting their ass at every play. And they believe, and when you've got that going, how in the hell as a coach would you even think about changing it, destroying it? And the thing about it is, Tony Romo, I admire him. Is that Tony Romo stood on the sidelines, and you see the camera on him. Tony knew the answer to this, and that's what it should be. And finally, Tony got fed up with it, and he told everybody, hey, the guy's earned the job. He's our quarterback, and that's the way it should be. And he takes the pressure off for himself, and he takes the pressure off Dak. Let's let him go play. And then when they lose a game, and they'll probably lose a game, you got to evaluate. Did the quarterback lose it? Sean, you know this.
Absolutely.
You got your ass beat.
That's right.
You got your ass beat. But you got to look at why you lost the game, won or lost the ball game. And a hell of a lot of times, it ain't the damn quarterback. I've had guys, great players, play great games in games they lost, play better in games they lost and get some of the games they won. And so you got to evaluate why you win and lose. And most coaches can do that, and not put it on where it really lies in certain areas. And certainly wouldn't be a quarterback right now if this guy is playing phenomenally. If the points that he's got, he doesn't look like he gets rattled. I mean, he's this guy. He looks like he comes back and wins that ball game the other day. Of course, the only challenge he's got as rookie of the year is that damn running back. I mean, he's special.
Yeah, they arguably got the top two players in the draft.
Co rookies of the year.
Yeah, no question about it. Coach, we love talking with you. We hope you'll do it again. We want to just mention we're almost out of time that you joined us in part thanks to the new app Fire Fan, a way for fans to kind of have a lot of fun
watching
these games.
Code Switzer. Yeah, use code Switzer. Play me. Come up. I'll hang half a hundred on your ass.
There you go. He will. Switzer. He's been known to.
Barry, thank you so much for the time.
Code Switzer, and I'll put a half a hundred on you.
Code Switzer. We appreciate you, Coach. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Coach.
All right, take care, guys.
Okay. All right, Joe Buck coming up. Barry Switzer right there.
This
may be the best hour we've got in Prime Cut.
Been a good run.
At least since our last hour. So Joe Buck coming up next with Sean Salisbury. I'm merely Steve Bunin. And our Prime Cut picks coming up after that.
Nice. Yeah. I forgot.